Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Here we go. This is it. This is Top Flight Time Machine. I am Andy Dawson.
I'm Sam Delaney. So what?
Yeah, I didn't do the I don't do them on the deep dive episodes right. Of Milchester, but you've done yours now. Pow, pow, pow!
I panicked.
No, I just slipped it in there when you weren't expecting it. It's the Melchester Odyssey. I don't know which episode it is, but we are looking at Roy the Rover's 1980s greatest hits. Roy's wife Penny has flown off to Crete with the race twins at protest at the amount of time Roy is spending with relegation haunted Melchester, haunted by relegation. Do you think that means kind of vivid relegation dreams?
Fucking, I suppose. Why do people use that term? I suppose what they're comparing it to is when you're actually haunted by a ghost. And the idea of being haunted by a ghost is that it's just sort of always hovering there in the background, causing anxiety.
Is that what ghosts do?
But yeah, that's what I'm about to question.
Not really,
because
is
that's
it?
What relegation does. When you're in a relegation battle, you do feel like it's always hanging about like a spectre over you.
Yeah.
If you're a fan, a player, or a manager, every waking hour, it's there. No matter what else is going on in your life, it's there, creeping around.
It feels
around.
More like a gas.
Exactly.
It's in the atmosphere that can't be seen. Relegation is a gas. It's not a solid. It's not a liquid.
So rather than saying haunted,
you can't touch relegation
because ghosts don't always hang around.
You can't drink relegation.
Ghosts sometimes just take you by surprise and do one hit. Like they'll fucking jump out at you and you just do boom, and you go ah.
Yeah,
and that's not really how relegation works. Relegation's a slow burn.
It creeps up on you.
So the correct phrase should be. Roy's wife Penny has flown to Crete with the race twins in protest at the amount of time he was spending with gassed Melchester relegation gassed Melchester Rovers.
Is there a relegation, I don't know, like an alarm you can get, like a carbon monoxide alarm you can get for relegation? You can put it in the in the dugout.
Yeah, but then now we're saying that it's like a silent killer, like carbon monoxide or certain cancers that don't really have any signs.
Warning signs.
I can't remember which ones they are. I think pancreatic, maybe.
Possibly, that's one of them.
But relegation's not like that.
No.
It's not silent. You see it coming. You can sometimes see it coming a mile off. So,
but it doesn't haunt you.
It doesn't haunt you, and I now think it's not like a gas because a gas is invisible. It's like,
but it's not solid either.
It's like something that's coming at you, and you see it, and you don't really think that.
What is relegation?
Is it like
treacle?
Is it like, you know, when you start to get a cold, and at first just like, I don't know if it's going to turn into a cold. I just feel a bit hoarse, like
I feel
a bit hoarse in my throat. And I haven't got the sniffles, but I did sneeze a couple of times today. It could be nothing. Then you wake up the next day, it's a bad cold. And then the throat comes. And then you start to think, is this going to morph into borderline flu symptoms where I have to actually take a day off bed and stay in bed?
Yeah.
And that is relegation. That's what relegation is.
Okay. Because again, that's not a solid or a liquid or a gas, is it?
It's a germ.
Relegation's a germ. And you can't get haunted by a germ.
No, it's a germ that spreads, and like all germs, there you can treat it with medicine, like antibiotics, stop it getting out.
And with relegation, you can treat it with wins.
Hard work.
Yeah.
Focus and togetherness. I think those are the things that you have to fight.
A bit of luck as well.
That's your antibiotics and luck in terms of other teams' results.
Yeah. Okay, I'm glad we've cleared that up. That's... So, yeah, relegation haunted Melchester Rovers. Infuriated by suggestions that he was losing control of the club. I'm not losing control of this fucking club for the last fucking time.
I'm telling you, Blackie, I'm fucking infuriated by this.
Roy held yet another training session. Yeah. Well, yeah, that's what he does. He's the manager of a football team. He's supposed to hold
train again.
We're going to have another training session. Fucking hell, boss. We had one last week. Yeah, we're having another one. Fucking suck it up.
Put your football shoes on and that.
Get your track wear on.
We're going out in the park bit.
On the eve of a fourth round European Cup match against Swedish champions Zalmo.
Oh,
fucking hell, they're up against Zalmo. And Roy is in front of his squad. They've all got their tracksuits and their football shoes on. And behind Roy is a goal with it's been broken down into segments, numbered segments. It looks like from 1 to 10. Mm. And Roy says to them, "Look, the only way to win football matches is to score goals. So we're going to try some plain, old-fashioned shooting practice. When I shout a number, I want to see that ball hitting the appropriate square. Dead centre, OK? Or I'm going to start lashing out." He doesn't say that, but now, I imagine he would.
This is how we'll separate the fucking cunts from the dickheads, right? In front of everyone. Let's see if you can handle the fucking pressure.
I'm hitting some numbers.
Yo, Paco, 3, miss, cunt. Blackie, 8, miss, cunt. Fucking hell's bells. Well, this is worse than I thought.
That's kind of what happens. Blackie goes first and Roy shouts, 7! And Blackie hits a shot from, well, it's from about 3 yards out by the looks of it.
And he fucking misses.
It's the corner of the 7 square.
Manchester Rovers are shit.
It's the corner of the 7 square. And then, is that Noel Baxter, the ginger one?
He's the joker in the pack, Noel Baxter, yeah.
Tough luck, Blackie. Left and down a bit. He says, he's just asking for a smack, isn't he?
Hey, no, fuck off. You're not funny.
See, you'll do it, cunt.
You fucking ginger minge dickhead.
But Roy's not amused by the jokes either. Maybe you'd all like to get a bit closer. That was terrible. Now let's try number 3, Jimmy Slade. Jimmy Slade, with his David Essex rock star good looks.
Yeah.
He steps up and again he's about 2 yards from the fucking goal. And he does, he hits it right in the top right hand corner of the 3. Roy said centre.
Yeah, so he goes, so Jimmy Slade goes, "How's that, boss?
Not fucking good enough."
He goes,
"Cunt.
Excellent. For someone with 2 left feet, I can see we got a long session ahead of us. You absolute cunt." But I did hit 3, like you told me. Yeah, in the top corner. You shit.
Yep. Taffy
as I understand it, this is how Glenn Hoddle coached the England team. That's what they said, didn't they?
Did they?
Yeah, if you read any of the memoirs.
So you started to say that, and I thought, is this true? Is he going
somewhere?
No,
there's a couple of well known incidents which I've read before, and then recently I've been reading the Michael Owen book, mm-hmm. and he talks about it as well. Is that in training, Hoddle was the best player, and he didn't play that down at all, and he would instruct Beckham. He had a problem with Beckham, and he'd instruct Beckham to do a certain type of free kick.
Yeah.
And he'd give him a few goes, and in the end he'd go, "Yeah, sorry, you obviously don't have the ability to do what I'm asking you to do. Let me demonstrate."
Yeah, I'll show you.
And he did it in front of everyone, and he did it to a few other players as well. He'd single them out.
Humiliate them.
He'd demonstrate something outrageous that obviously pretty much only Glenn Hoddle can do with the ball. And then he'd go, "Right, now you do it." "Oh dear, you can't do it, can you? You're obviously not as good at football as I am.
I could do it. Maybe I should take your place in the team." Yeah,
exactly. One of those.
Good. I like that. I like these millionaire footballers being brought down a peg or two at any opportunity. But Taffy Morgan and Ben Galloway, the club's general manager, were watching the shooting session. Roy shouting, "Rubbish! Try number 9! He's deranged there.
Yeah,
demented.
He's gone mad.
Ben says, "I've never seen him driving them so hard, Taffy. And you know why, don't you?" And Taffy says, "Aye." He's Welsh, isn't he? Sorry. Yeah. Roy's trying to show everyone that he's still the best man for the job, despite his little domestic problem.
You cunt, Taffy. Bringing it up in front of the boss.
He's not getting any. He's fucked off to Crete. And Ben says, maybe he's trying too hard. It could be the players who suffer in the long run.
Maybe he needs a wank. His balls must be fucking busted.
Taffy, go and whack him off in the physio room.
I've tried that. He doesn't want it. Make him. Insist. Say it's come right from the top.
Put a long blonde wig on.
Say Ben, say it's on the orders of Ben Galloway himself.
Pretend you're a bird. He'll like it then.
I've seen him like this before. A manager needs regular ejaculations to stay on top of things. He's stressed out. But I think that Ben Galloway and Taffy standing there in distance is really annoying for Roy as well.
Yeah.
He's under pressure.
Yeah.
And if the fucking general manager turns up...
Well, he's a general manager anyway. Yeah. They don't have him anymore, do they?
I mean, if we go back and ever read the 70s one, what I think... I don't know, cunters might know this and get in touch, but... I think there's a backstory whereby Ben Galloway was the gaffer.
He was, yeah.
And then basically, Roy...
I think he got addicted to wanking and he had to step down or move upstairs.
Roy became such a big deal.
Yeah.
That in the end, they thought, the only way we can keep hold of Roy is to give him... I'm fed up of any con, whether it be Galloway or anyone else, telling me, Roy Race, what to do. I mean, who would know better how to play football than me? It's stupid. You should make me the manager. And they've gone, oh, all right, okay. Roy. And they've had to move Ben upstairs.
Yeah.
So Ben pretty much does fuck all. He takes his salary, but he's off home at maybe 4 p.m. most days.
Matt Busby, a general manager at Manchester United, after he hung up his
coaching whistle.
It was not a problem at Melchester, though, because Roy's got lots of big dick energy, as I believe they call it.
Yeah.
And
he's alpha maled.
Yeah, he's
everyone.
Alpha maled the whole thing. Mm. He's alpha maled the league. As the 2-hour slog at last came to an end, it's not a slog, is it? Taking turns to hit shots that are
from fucking five yards at the wall. Right, well done, lads. Everyone there can have a fag. Here you go. I'll hand them round. Got some duty free.
I've got left over from Crete in the summer.
Come on.
No, I'm going to Crete.
You've done well. You haven't. You've done shite, but I want to take you all down the feathers for a bit of bonding.
And Noah Baxter says, "Oh, hope I've got enough energy left for Zalmo." Bit of sarcasm there.
Mm.
Vic Guthrie, come back, Penny. That's what I say. Duncan Mackay, no chance, laddie. Roy's as stubborn as they come. And then on to the next page. Yeah.
He's got to do.
Duncan Mackay started this little speech
one of his trademark monologues
outside, and they're now inside on the way back to the dressing room.
He's talking about Roy whilst walking just a few yards behind him, and the look on Roy's face, does that cunt not realise I can hear
him? I can fucking hear you.
I can hear every fucking word you're saying, you daft chuck bastard. And he's going, all he's got to do is pick up the telephone and he'll tell her he's sorry, but his pride will not let him.
Josh Galloway.
And Roy's like, I can fucking hear you, dickhead. Why don't you fucking focus on your own life instead of mine, you fucking weirdo?
If you weren't your filter this time, you'd be on your fucking ass by now, pal.
What the fuck? What's going on with your fucking missus, I'd like to know. Hey, we've all got our problems, right?
I'll come round and have a go on her like I did with Blackie's wife at the weekend.
That'll fucking probably work out good for you. Put a smile on her face. Relax her a bit.
That must be sick of living with a dour Scotchman.
With your fucking headband that you probably don't even take off in the sack.
It must be fucking manky. Look at it.
It's disgusting.
You ever wash it? Bet you fucking don't.
She wants a nice clean cop fella like me.
Yeah. So on to the European Cup match. It says, despite the rain that lashed Melchester two evenings later, the match against Zalmo was still a sellout.
Fucking love Zalmo, do you?
Yeah.
Fucking brilliant team.
Yeah. Yeah, they were great. And the crowd are talking outside as they file their way in. Wouldn't it be funny if Rovers won the European Cup and got relegated all in the same season?
Oh,
no,
yeah.
It wouldn't be fucking funny.
Fucking hilarious, pal.
This is our team.
Yeah, fucking good one. Oh, I think my sides might fucking split. You funny cunt.
As another one says, Rovers in the second division, it doesn't bear thinking about. And up in the television commentary box, it seems to be... Is this Lionel Richie that's commentating on the match?
No, it's Oates from Hall and Oates.
It's
John Oates.
John Oates, yeah. Melchester must put their relegation worries behind them for the next 90 minutes. Zalmo are here to defend their 2-0 lead from the first leg. And I mean defend. So, yeah.
He's a man eater. Hall is the co-commentator. He's the pundit.
Hmm.
And Oates is the main commentator.
He'll hand over to Hall for a bit of
analysis.
Input. Yeah. The commentator was right, it says. And it's hard to really look at what's going on because there's lines of rain lashing down in front of the pitch. So, yep, Vernon's put a cross in and it's been headed behind for a corner. You'll have to be quicker with those crosses, Vernon, shouts the fan. Another corner. Every Zalmo player is back in his own half. Roy is still hounding his players, it says here. Come on, Vic Guthrie. You too, Duncan. I want maximum pressure for this flag kick. There we are again. Our favourite phrase, flag kick.
Flag kick.
Flag kick time. Everyone up.
Do you mean a corner?
No.
We call it flag kick here. That's what he has to tell the new players when they sign. None of that corner bollocks. It's called a flag kick here. Yeah, that's the Melchester way.
Here's a copy of the style guide. We've got different words for different things here.
And don't be calling it a throw-in, right? It's a chalk ball. A line chalk.
So he's sending Vic Guthrie and Duncan Mackay up, and Noel Baxter is thinking, Roy's leaving us thin at the back. This could be dodgy. We'll see. Corner comes in. The Zalmo keeper flies through the air and punches it clear.
Very continental. Yeah. Remember in those days, no English keeper ever punched the ball.
No.
And if a foreign keeper did it, everyone would like scoff and laugh at
them. He's got gloves on as well, which not many keepers, English keepers.
Oh, look at him punching it. Who do you think he is?
He's what would be described as an eccentric goalkeeper back then.
Yeah.
Jalapeño.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promoting for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Jalapeño.
So he's flying through the air, punches it clear just before Duncan Mackay can get his head on it. And he lands on Vic Guthrie's head as he punches it clear. Vic goes, oof!
Oh, fuck off!
Oh, yeah, dirty Swede.
Fucking Swede. They make out they're all nice as pie with their fucking social democracy and that. But let me tell you, they've got a dark side to them.
They're constantly having it off, and you can fucking smell it on this one.
They're fucking perverts. And have you ever seen anything more perverse than a goalkeeper wearing gloves fucking punching a ball out the air?
This one smells like Taffy's special towel from the physio room. Great clearance, and the Zalmo players are coming out like lightning, shouts someone, I don't know.
Fucking hell, get back.
That's a counter.
Fuck it.
Continental counter-attack.
Oh, shit.
Oh, I've seen this on the telly. Fucking hell.
Shit in hell.
The Rovers retreat hastily. Too late, look at that pass. Accurate to an inch. And Fredriksson is onside. Swedish name there, Fredriksson.
Nice.
Good touch. And he puts it past Charlie Carter, who's now back in goal again. The Rovers keeper, Charlie Carter, was left high and dry. It's there! 3-0 on aggregate! That away goal is priceless for the Swedes, shouts presumably a Melchester fan. Melchester are really up against it now, as usual. So they're 3-0 down on aggregate. The Swedes have got an away goal. Roy's heading for the Melchester bench. Good grief. Surely he isn't going to make a substitution already.
If so,
it's panic stations.
I will tell you that Melchester's defence is shit.
Yeah, right. Well, we've established that, haven't
always we? Has been. Who plays in defence of them? Guthrie.
Mackay. Baxter.
Taffy's back in goal, I think.
Charlie Carter.
Charlie Carter, not Taffy. Right, and it's shit. In every game, even the ones they win, it's never a simple, they never keep a clean sheet. It's always desperate, like having to fight back into a game. But in this relegation battle they're in, I don't think he gives them enough grief.
No.
He never changes the lineup, right? No. He never says, right, we've got to get the simple things right, like defending. Yeah. Right, he just sort of thinks, well, it's fine, I'm not really interested in the defence, I've just got to work out how we're going to score more goals.
Yeah, but that's that, because that puts the spotlight on him, doesn't it? That makes him look good, so that's obviously going
to
be...
I'm happy with a shit defence.
Yeah.
Adds a bit of drama to things.
Maybe he's off to do his warm-up, cunt. who was on the bench. Yeah. Yo, warm-up! Why is Roy heading for the bench? It says, find out next week. Give that marks out of 10.
Yeah, I could be an 8.
Yeah, an 8. It was all right, you know.
I liked Almo and Fredrickson. That's what livened it up for me.
It wasn't a classic, but yeah. Now then, next episode, 4th of April 1981. Roy is on the front cover, and oh my God, Penny's back.
This is one of the great covers.
Mm.
It's really romantic.
It's beautiful, isn't it?
It's them both embraced in the sort of tunnel area.
Yeah.
Fans looking over, soaked, drenched in rain.
Duncan Mackay's got his arm in the air in celebration.
He's celebrating that. Yes, she is back. Thank fuck.
Our fucking nightmare is at an end.
Now, if our gaffer can get his nuts in, perhaps he will chill the fuck out and focus back on football again. Right, and
Savvy, prepare a room for half time
for conjugal visits, like in the Nick. It's such a great image. They're drenched in rain, so Roy's sort of Buffon 80s mullet, semi mullet is all wet,
soft,
and flat,
isn't it?
And she is looking foxy. She's in a white fur coat. Her hair's grown out a bit, which I think suits her.
Yeah.
Collar turned up a bit, and a sort of skirt,
leopard print
skirt just
sexy.
Above the knee. Yeah. She's looking really foxy. She's drenched in rain. You could probably see her tits because of the, like, she's probably the top's wet, but they're concealed because they're hugging, and it's amazing. And but part of me thinks, well, first of all, this sort of is like the famous romantic scenes, right? Like Spider-Man and I can't remember her name.
Spider-Girl?
Mary Jane? Yeah, Mary Jane, not Spider-Girl, right? When he's upside down in the rain and she pulls down his mask and kisses him. And another famous romantic scene.
Superman and Lois Lane.
No. I'm talking about famous kisses in the rain. The other one is Hugh Grant.
Batman?
No, hey. Just stop saying superheroes, right? I'm trying to...
Sorry. Get on with it.
Hugh Grant and what's her name in Four Weddings and a Funeral. What I'm saying is this cover is an iconic cover that I think influenced films going forward. Because this was before any of those scenes. And the rain-soaked embrace has become a staple of romantic imagery, right? And I think it began
here.
Roy and Penny.
Yeah, it probably did. It's a bit of a spoiler, isn't it, on the front cover?
Yeah.
No one was expecting this, and then to just whack it on the front cover like that
I think it's great.
I think
it's
a good move.
I think it's a great cover. I would imagine that this was a top fucking seller.
Yeah. Everyone's
Unless the
gone.
Boys, I mean, like, you know, if you think of young lads, like my son, he hates anything to do with kissing and cuddling and all that. It'd be like, ugh! So it might have put off some of those, but it might wind the market up, like some girls might have bought it.
Yeah. I mean, we've said this before,
and some older
the domestic
readers.
Element to it isn't really attractive for an 8-9-year-old boy.
Yeah.
As I certainly was when this came out, but, you know, you just endure it.
Yeah, you think, oh, no, it's
action.
A bit with Penny.
Do more kissing.
Yeah.
She looks like she stinks. whereas now, we're going,
Penny.
Get the fucking conjugal room set up. How can I get a cardboard cut out of her?
Why didn't they do a Roy at the Rovers late adult edition?
Yeah,
so you see
dark.
What's going on after dark. Like when they did that version of Baywatch. Baywatch Nights. Fucking great.
As if Baywatch wasn't sexy enough to start with. Oh, man. So into the issue itself, and it says that the strap line at the top. Good grief! It looks like Penny. Roy's wife Penny had flown off to Crete with the race twins in protest of the amount of time he was spending with relegation haunted Melchester Rovers. Yep, he's just cut that out from last time. In the fourth round of the European Cup against Zalmo, Roy's pressure tactics received an early blow when the Swedes broke away and added to their 2-0 lead. Then it picks up where we left off in the last one. Roy's panicked. That goal shook him so much he's going to make a substitution already. Better get your tracksuit off, Steve. Taffy says to him. Is it Steve Walford? Or Steve Walton? I don't know, something like
not
that.
Not what? Steve Walford used to play for West Ham.
Maybe it's him. Don't know. But Roy, Steve Naylor, that says in the next frame. But Roy had no intention of bringing on Steve Naylor. His eyes were on the crowd behind the Melchester dugout. And he's having a look and he's thinking, up there, sitting in her favourite seat. Good grief, it looks like Penny. And close up on Penny. Oh, she looks a bit rough there. It is Penny.
She's pissed.
She is. Yeah, she's doing.
She's come straight from the airport,
it's
and she was
Smith
on the
again, isn't it?
She was on the miniatures on the plane.
Yeah, yeah. Ben Galloway's got her over by the looks of it because he's sat behind her.
Yeah, that's it. Smile and wave, just like we agreed.
She's doing some kind of Gareth Hunt style coffee bean shake, like from the.
Yeah, it's really weird. Yeah, like that sort of championship thing where you clasp your hands together and hold them in the air, and she's like, "Yeah, she's been on the plane, isn't it?" Pardon me, could I have another gin and tonic? Of course, madam. I've already had three. I've got to taste them. I'm a very nervous flyer, you see. Yes, of course, that's no problem, madam. Could I also have a glass of wine? No, a Bloody Mary.
And then the next one, it says there, Penny's hands were clasped in a little salute, which meant only one thing to Roy. Oh, it's a secret signal. Mm. Secret sex signal.
What's that? So it, oh, it's the
fucking... she's doing the hand clasp. Fucking hell, I'm on a promise now.
Oh, for a minute, I thought it was some sort of fucking white supremacist thing. You can't be doing that sort of shit in public. Fucking hell, Penny. You must be pissed. Oh, no, it's fine. It's the sex symbol.
But it's not. It does have a meaning, the little salute. And Roy explains it. He says, she's telling me to stay sharp right to the end of the game. Roy, when I do this, when I clasp my hands together like the coffee beans from the advert, that means stay sharp. Right to the end of the game. Have you got that, Roy?
Yeah.
I will do.
Yeah, fine.
And then there's Paco saying, who is Buzz? The wife. She's come on, Paco. So, why we wait? Let's give her something to come home for. Oh, she's fucking home already. That's what I've just said. She's here.
You're not fucking... You're still doing the lessons that we're paying for. Right, because I'm starting to think you're not.
From Paco Diaz, the ball was worked out to Mervyn Wallace. What a run! Merv's given the Rovers a bit of width. This is the way to open up Zalmo's blanket defence. So Zalmo are just sitting back on their 3-0 lead, clearly. But that isn't. An old-fashioned long ball pumped into the goal mouth.
Pump it!
Pump it in, Paco! I'll do a hand signal. It means pump it in. Just the wanker sign.
Pump it.
It's a gift for Zalmo, shouts the crowd. I bet it's not though.
Yeah,
I bet it fucking isn't.
We know what's coming.
Yeah. Sure enough, Malmo's man for man marking seemed to blot out the danger. Their sweeper has headed it clear. Pick up that ball, Melchester. Yours, Racy, shouts someone. And there it is. There's the rocket.
Boom!
Left foot, outside of the boot, bang, straight into the top corner. Fucking no chance for the eccentric Swedish keeper.
Mm.
It's in, they shout. And there's Blackie saying, nice one, Roy. That took courage to even have a go. You got courage, you have also lots of courage.
You got big balls, and I'm not just talking about the spunk what's in him because your missus has been away. I mean it metaphorically.
They must be fucking throbbing, are they, Roy?
Don't worry, Roy. Clock's ticking. Not long now. So you empty that sack once and for all. I fucking know. I hit that ball. That were a fucking month's worth of sexual frustration went you, into that strike.
I don't need fucking 15 minutes half time. It's going to be over in 15 fucking seconds.
Noel Baxter, little shit. But it came out.
You weasel.
Oh, you're crawling back now, are you, Baxter? You fucking cunt with all your jokes when things were going shit. Now I've fucking got us back into it. You're acting like you're my mate again. Fuck off. No, your game.
And there's Jimmy Slade saying, wahoo! As footballers obviously always do. From then on, only brilliant defending by Zalmo kept out the Rovers. At half time, Racy is striding off the pitch. Oh,
fucking hell. I'll see you later, lads. I'm off.
I might not come out the second half.
Yes. I'll see you when I see you, yeah?
Jimmy Slade said, look at Roy, I've never seen him so anxious to get back to the dressing room. Dr. McKay, who knows what's wrong, says, it's not the dressing room he's heading for, laddie. It's a bedroom.
It's the conjugal room that Taffy has established.
The conjugal suite.
It says in the caption, Duncan McKay was right. Bennett. Hi, Racy. You've still got a useful lift, but I see.
I'll tell you what else I've got that's fucking useful. Bend over that treatment table.
It's not my fucking foot that's going in. Unless you want it to.
We'll save that for when we get home. We'll talk about stuff.
I'm up for anything. I've been doing a lot of thinking while you've been away.
I've done some drawings.
And I think it's time. I think if we've learned anything from this, it's that we need to really freshen up our sex life. Start branching out of it, you know.
Lots of stuff I want to do. Not so fussed about whether you're into it, but, you know.
The new ways that I've worked out that you can keep me satisfied so you don't, you know, have to go off to Crete again.
So we get out of this relegation battle. She says, but don't get me wrong, Roy. This doesn't mean that I've changed my mind about the amount of time you were spending at the club.
Yeah, yeah.
Whatever. Get him down.
Yeah, fine.
So why have you come back? He says, his hair drenched down his side of his head. We'll talk about that later. After you've dealt with Zalmo, I didn't come all the way from Crete to see you get knocked out of the European Cup. And then he's walking into the dressing room with his arm around her, just almost to show her off like a prize to the team.
Look at this, lads.
He says, what do you think, lads?
Not bad, eh? She's got a bit of a tan as well. I think she's lost a few pounds because over there it's mostly just Greek salad, which is like salad but with its white cheese in, right? It's better than all the chips and that we have at home. So she shed a few pounds and got a tan on the go.
We'll see if the tan's all over. I'll let you know later on.
What do you reckon, lads? Jimmy, who's that with the tash?
I don't know who the fuck that is.
I'm thinking about the fifth round boss. Yeah, great.
He looks like an evil genius.
I tell you. When she goes, I'll tell you what, like, why I'm back later, I haven't changed my mind. He's thinking, yeah, I fucking know why. It's when she checked the fucking bank account and saw that I'd cut off her fucking housekeeping money.
She's come back for some fucking traveller's checks.
Yeah.
So as the second half war runs, Almo's determination to cling to their 3-1 lead became more and more desperate. And a sliding tackle goes in onto Racy and he shouts, ah! Good grief, they almost dragged Roy off the ball. Direct free kick to Melchester. And Racy's going to take it. If he can beat that wall, in inverted commas.
Like it's a new term.
Yeah.
We call it a wall. It's on the continent they call it a wall because it's almost like a wall that's built not from bricks and mortar but human beings.
Here we call it the human line. But they call it the wall on the continent. It could catch on. If he can beat the wall, this could be as good as a penalty. So, there we are. That's the end of that one. And it says, can Melchester overcome their uphill task? Find out next week. And we will find out next week because that's the end of this episode. We'll give this some marks out of 10. I'm giving it a 10.
I'll give it a 9.
Oh.
Give it a 9.
Just because you didn't actually get to see any sex.
Yeah, I didn't get to see Penny's tits.
Oh, we're terrible, terrible men. Thanks for listening to this Melchester Odyssey. We'll be back with another one next week. Be lucky.
Yeah, keep it canty.
Thank you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.